Our text this afternoon is the verse 7 of Galatians chapter 5. We've been looking recently at some of the great questions that we find in the scriptures, and we have one here in our text. Paul writes in verse 7 saying, "Ye did run well, who did hinder you?" Ye did run well, who did hinder you? Often when I think of the subject of running and racing as we find it in the scriptures, my mind often goes to a runner of a bygone age, a man by the name of Eric Liddell. His is the name that often comes to mind. You may be familiar with him through the story and the movie Chariots of Fire. It tells the story of his decision not to run on a Sunday during the 1924 Olympic Games in Paris. Now, it was thought at the time that that race would provide him with the best opportunity of winning a gold medal in the 100 metres race. Yet when the schedules were posted and the race was scheduled for a Sunday, as a devout Christian, Eric Liddell refused to run on the Lord's Day. He considered it to be a breaking of the Sabbath. Now, there was a great deal of pressure placed upon him to run. Perhaps he could make an exception just for this one occasion. But he refused to budge. And the national press and the majority of the people were criticizing him. He was accused of being unpatriotic, denying a gold medal to his country. He was called legalistic and pharisaical and all of those wonderful terms, yet still he refused. If it meant missing out on a chance to win a gold medal, well, he was prepared to do that and serve the Lord instead. It was decided that he would run in the 400 meter race instead. That wasn't his normal race. In fact, it was felt by many that he had no chance of winning at all. However, just before the race started, a note was handed to him. And he opened the note and he read what it said. And the note read, "In the old book, it says, 'He that honours me, I will honour. Wishing you the best of success always.'" And God did honour Eric Liddell. For he won not only the 400 metre race, but he broke the world record in the process. Now, what you perhaps don't know is that Eric Liddell went on to be a missionary in China. And he was captured by the Japanese after they invaded China in 1938 and was placed in an internment camp. And the conditions were severe, and he died on the 21st of February 1945. But we might say of Eric Liddell in more than one way that he run a good race. So this afternoon I want to look at the question that was placed before the believers in Galatia. And the picture is of a runner running a race. And Paul said to them, "Ye did run well. But who did hinder you?" Who did hinder you? Paul often uses this symbolism of a runner on a race to describe the Christian life. And the question that he asked that day is one that I think resonates with us all. You did run well, but who did hinder you? I want you to see a couple of things from this text. First of all, it's a personally run race. Ye did run well. He's talking to the individual, not talking to us collectively, that we're running the race together. This is a race that we run personally. We're individual runners. Each person that God has saved is a runner in this race. At the moment of your salvation, you were entered into this race. Every Christian is a representative of the heavenly country in the race of life, and we are expected to run. Now, as we look at the different times that the Bible uses this picture of a runner in a race in order to describe our spiritual condition, we see something of the personal nature of this race. For instance, if you turn over in your Bible a few pages to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, and we read these words. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race that is set before us. The idea here is of a runner that has been assigned a lane in the race that's before. And you run in your lane. It speaks about a predetermined course. It reminds us of our assignment from God. As believers, He has given us a course to run. We often talk about God's will for our lives. Well, how well are you running that race? Given that God has a plan and purpose for every believer, that He has assigned us a race to run, how are we going? Are we running well? When we talk about the will of God, we're talking about something that involves every believer. The will of God for my life, for your life, for every Christian's life. That assignment given to us by God. If you've ever participated in or even watched some of the track events at the Olympic, you know that the course is marked off in a number of lanes. Well, God has many lanes. And the lane that He has put me in is one of preaching, to preach His word. Well, you have your lane also, whatever that might be. God's will for your life, God's purpose for you as a believer. And I don't want you to think that God's plan only includes ministers or Christian leaders or missionaries or those who work within the church. The truth is, God calls all of His people. He has a lane for each of us. There are no exceptions and there are no exemptions. There is a course that God would have you to run, your personal assignment from Him. So whatever area of life that you work in or labor in, you must see that as an opportunity to run for God. The will of God for your life will undoubtedly be very different than the will of God for my life. But whatever it might be, we have a race to run, the race that is set before us. Now, if you turn back in your Bibles this time to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse 25, we're told something about this race that we run. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25. It says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. Now Paul's again thinking of the games that were very popular in that part of the world. And the winner of those games, instead of receiving a gold medal, would receive a laurel crown. That's why he speaks of it as being a corruptible crown. The leaves will eventually wither and die. But still, those runners, those racers, all of those men and women that took part in those games made it their ambition to win the prize. Every man striveth for the mastery. Everyone's pushing for first place. Their goal is to win the prize. And the prize for which they are striving was in this case a corruptible crown. As believers, however, the prize that's set before us is described as an incorruptible crown. We read in the scriptures of an inheritance that's laid up in heaven for us that is undefiled and incorruptible and fadeth not away. We are racing for a heavenly reward. Ultimately, what we are striving for is that in the day when we stand before the Saviour to receive the rewards for our service, that we want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We want to hear him say, "Well done," that we have finished our course, that we have completed our assignment, that the race that we have run right to the very end, and we will receive that reward that comes from the hand of our Master. Each and every one of us will one day stand before God. Again, there are no exceptions or exemptions. We will have that personal assignment by God, and we'll have a personal appearance before him. And for the Christian, the race that is run well is one that ends in an incorruptible crown. Now notice what Paul said to the believers in Galatia. He said, "Ye did run well." Ye did run well. You ran a good race as far as you ran. A properly run race. How did they do it? By maintaining their focus. As Paul said, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." The idea is that he's not looking around him as he's running. If you watch those sprinters in the Olympic Games, they set their eyes upon the finish line. And they run, and they never take their eyes off the finish line. And they don't stop until they push right through it. In fact, I'm told that they're not only watching the line, but they're watching 10 meters beyond the line so that they don't slow down in the last few steps. And Paul says that's how we run, with an objective in mind. We don't run without purpose or without focus. The successful runner will be committed and dedicated in order to be the best runner that they can be. They won't just run for a few hours a week and then show up at the race expecting to win or to be competitive. No, not at all. Again, as Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, that verse we read earlier, there must be a laying aside of every weight. There must be a setting aside of the sin which doth so easily beset us, the things that would hinder us. And so the runner spends their entire life focused on the race. Their diet, their discipline, their dedication, the early mornings, the long days, are all spent with that one goal in mind, to run as well as they possibly can. Well, we as Christians are to be no different. If we want to run our race well, we cannot be part-time Christians. We have to be more than just once on a Sunday Christians. Our whole life is dedicated to the Lord. So many people treat the Christian life as if it's just one thing out of many that they do. We do this on a Monday, and we do this on a Tuesday, and something different on a Wednesday, and on Sunday we go to church. Some people go to church on Sunday. They stand up and shout. Then they go to work on Monday and leave the Saviour out. They think they've done their duty to the Lord, that they have been true. But when they get to heaven, they'll find that one day religion just won't do. We are to be dedicated. It's an everyday affair. If we're going to run our race properly, we must have that focused life upon Christ. Let us run well. As Paul said, run with patience the race set before us. That word patience means endurance and perseverance. That faithful, consistent life. If we are to run well, then we are to run continually, persistently, until we get to the finish line. Don't allow things to discourage you or to distract you, and don't get sent off on a detour in your life that takes you away from the Saviour. Don't allow the enemy to defeat you. Run with your eyes fixed upon Christ. Don't slow down, don't stop, don't quit. We must stick in this race. Back in 1968 at the Olympics in Mexico City, John Stephen Akawari from Tanzania was there to run the marathon. He fell at one point in the race. His right leg was bloodied and bandaged, and well, he was in a great deal of pain. Long after the other competitors had finished the race, John Stephen Akawari came into the stadium hobbling, completed the course and crossed the line. When he was asked as to why he didn't drop out earlier because of his injuries, he said, "My country did not send me to Mexico City to start the race. They sent me to finish the race." And I remind you, Christian, that you're running for the Lord. We are citizens of a heavenly country, and we haven't been saved just to start the race, but to finish the race, to run well with a focused and faithful life for the Saviour. Philippians 2 and verse 16 gives us another insight into this life, this running race in which we are engaged. Philippians 2 and verse 16, Paul says again, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." The word vain simply means empty or fruitless. He says, I don't want to run or live in such a way in my Christian life that it's all been for nothing. We want our Christian race to be a fruitful race. We are to bear fruit unto God. The Lord Jesus said, "I have not chosen you, or you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should," what? "Bring forth fruit." We want to be fruitful Christians. I once read an article that was entitled "The Christian's Garden." He said, "First plant 5 rows of peas, preparedness, promptness, perseverance, politeness, and prayer. Then 3 rows of squash, squash gossip, squash criticism, squash indifference. 5 rows of lettuce. Let us be faithful. Let us be unselfish. Let us be loyal. Let us be truthful. Let us love one another." Of course, no garden is complete without some turnips. Turn up for church. Turn up with a smile. Turn up with determination. Let our life be a fruitful garden. Let us run the race well. Let the fruit of the Spirit be seen in our life as we run for Christ. Ye did run well. It's a personal race. It's a focused race. But we also see that it was a poorly run race. Paul says, "Ye did run well." Did, past tense. There was a time that you ran well, but no longer, he's saying. You mark that word in our text, did. The question that Paul is asking then, since you once ran well in the past, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? We don't want our Christian life to be simply a past testimony that once we ran well. That was certainly true of the believers in Galatia. They had once ran well for the Saviour with a focused, faithful, fruitful life. They were running a good race, but not anymore. Ye did run well. You used to be faithful. There was a time that you never missed a service. There was a time that you allowed nothing and no one to keep you out of God's house upon the Lord's day. That your service for the Saviour was your priority. It was a settled issue. You never had to be asked, what are you doing on Sunday? That's a silly question. I'm going to church. But now we're hit and miss. In and out. Not so faithful anymore. Maybe it's our service. We once served well, but not any longer. Now we just sit and occupy a pew and watch others as they serve. You did run well. Maybe we don't take our Christian life as seriously as what we once did. We once sought to guard our lives and to keep it clean. We didn't trifle with sin. We did the best to our ability to keep our life clean before God. We had a hatred for sin, but now we have a tolerance for it. Our private life used to be as clean as our public life, but now there are things that have crept in and we've allowed them to stay. We did run well, but no longer. There was a time when we were closer to the Lord. There was a day when our life was marked with a deep love for the Savior and for His Word. We consumed His Word. We ate it daily. We loved to pray. But not any longer. That book that was once so blessed to us as we read it now lies upon a shelf unopened and unread. The Lord that we used to seek out daily in prayer just to spend time with is now forgotten except for a few prayers that are offered on a whim just as we're moving along without thought or concern. That closeness to the Lord that we once enjoyed is no longer there. I think of two students that were employed in their first summer job. They were working with the roads department. They were there to paint the white lines down the centre of the road, and the supervisor told them, "You're on probation. And I expect you to set an average of 5 kilometres every day in order to keep your job." Well, the first day they painted 10 kilometres. And the second day they painted 5 kilometres. But on the third day they only painted 1 kilometre. The supervisor said to them, "I don't understand. You did so well. You started so well. You painted 10 kilometres the first day, 5 kilometres the second day, but now you're only painting 1 kilometre a day. What has gone wrong?" And two students replied, "Well, each day brings us a little further away from the bucket." Is that what we're like? We've got so far from the Lord. We did run well, but we have left the Lord behind, so far away that there's hardly a trace of Him in our life at all. We could go on and mention 100 other things, but I think you get the idea. You did run well. You were running a good race. But not today. Today the Savior's no longer seen clearly, and each day He seems like that bucket just a little bit further away. The things of God have lost their sweetness. You did run well. Paul asked the question, who did hinder you? Who did hinder you? The picture there, I believe, is of one runner cutting in front of another. Paul's saying, who's cutting in front of you? Who stopped you from running? And of course, he's speaking to some that were in the church that were known as Judaizers, that wanted to bring the Christians of Galatia back to the Old Testament worship. Who did hinder you? Now that's probably not the case for us today, but we could ask the same question. Who cut in front of you? What have you allowed to come before you in the Lord that has tripped you up? Is it a job? A hobby? Some activity? Is it another person? A relationship? What has it caused you from stop serving God the way that you used to do? What have you allowed to come in and steal away your heart and your affections from the Savior? Why is it that you've quit giving more of yourself and are giving less and less every time? What has hindered you? Only you can answer that question. I can't answer it for you. But I know deep down that the real answer is sin. Sin hinders us in our walk with God. We allow sin into our life and it hinders us. It trips us up. It clouds our vision. It hardens our heart. It dulls our senses. But the good news is, if we will confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then instead of being at a distance from God, we'll be brought near to God. And instead of saying that my Christian experience is all in the past, that we can have a bright and glorious prospect and future, that we're running for God and we're running to God, and each day brings us closer to Him. Wouldn't that be much better than looking back with regret and saying that I once ran well but no longer? The wonderful thing in this Bible that I see is that the Lord Jesus is willing to forgive. We have that wonderful example of the prodigal son who took all of the blessings of the father's house and squandered them until he had nothing left. And then at the end of himself, he realizes it would be much better for me to be even just a servant in my father's house. He says, I'll pick myself up and I'll go back to my father and I'll confess what I've done and I'll beg for his mercy. And perhaps he'll allow me to be a servant in his house. And you know what we find? The father standing waiting for him, looking for him, watching the horizon. And as soon as he spots his bedraggled son coming back again, he runs to meet him. And he embraces him and kisses him and restores him and puts a garment upon him and a ring on his finger. And there's a feast that's called for. There's a time of celebration because my son, which was dead, is now alive again. My son who once ran well and who dropped out of the race altogether has been restored to his starting place and he's going to run again. That could be you and me. Do not let your Christian testimony be one of the past, but one of a bright future, of a prospect of blessing from the Lord where we are running for Him. May that be our daily desire and drive to spend each day running for Christ in anticipation of that incorruptible crown that He has for those that love Him. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? May the Lord examine our hearts, each and every one of us. And if the truth of the scripture rings in our hearts as being applicable to us, that yes, I was once closer to the Lord than what I am now. I once ran better for the Lord than what I'm doing currently. Well, may we seek forgiveness from the Lord and restoration and get put back into the race and run with passion for the Lord Jesus Christ for that incorruptible crown. May He help us to do that. And again, all for His glory. Amen.